My name is Ann Gernert Hicks, and I am from Saratoga, Wyoming in the summers and Texas in the winters. And I lived in this state from 48 till I graduated from the University of Wyoming in 1962.
You moved here in 48 from what area?
I moved as a child with my two sibling brothers older than me from Denver. My dad was an oil man, and he was being transferred along, and he had a decision to make in Denver to go with a Texas company in Chicago or Casper, Wyoming, and he wasn't so sure about that, but he didn't want to leave the Rockies. So that was kind of a no-brainer decision for him, and it was a no-look-back, no-regret decision. Casper was good to him and good to his family, and I certainly loved growing up there in the 50s. It was a great time to be there.
What was your childhood like growing up there?
Uncomplicated and fun and no iPods and iPads. And and I remember television coming in the early 50s. We got our first TV, and I was totally intrigued. It was black and white, of course. I remember the first dishwasher that was introduced. Mom got, and I sat on the floor watching the lights, you know, like wash, dry. The cycles would have different lights, and I was intrigued. It was the first dishwasher I'd ever seen. I had been the dishwasher, so I was relieved.
Indeed. As a child, did you participate in sports or any kind of activities growing up in Casper?
My high school years were probably some of the happiest of my life. Started there in 54 high school and graduated 58. In those 4 years, I had two brothers that had preceded me that were track stars in the high school. So everybody knew who I was, and I was always either High Gernert's sister or Jim Gernert's sister. And I got used to that. Uh-huh. And I was very active in student council, student court. We had our own court system where we were judging our peers, and it was a very valuable experience. I became interested and active, have been ever since, in politics. Loved that era. Marvelous teachers at NCHS during that time. Teachers who, mostly the women, never married and totally dedicated to their profession. And my memory of my high school years is just a beautiful, beautiful experience. Loved the sports, was the best fan they ever had.
That's great. Did you have any other family around Casper other than your immediate family? Any aunts or uncles?
Not until later. My grandmother, I had an auntie who and her husband moved there probably in the 50s. And her name was Ruth Roberts. Her husband was Art, and he was with the Wyoming Oil and Gas Association, and he was kind of a lobbyist with the legislature for the oil and gas industry. Then in about 1955, my grandparents, who had lived in Kemmer all of their lives, they'd been married in Kemmer. I went to their 50th wedding anniversary, and I was 11 in 1951. So about 55 or 56, they moved two doors down from us in Casper because they were getting elderly, and they were both born in 1878. My grandmother was born in Springfield, Massachusetts, and she was very much an elegant Eastern lady who I never knew, and I regret it, and never knew the story of how my grandparents met, because my grandfather was just starting his career in banking sort of in Chicago. So how Chicago and Massachusetts got together, bit of a mystery. But I have letters that he was writing my grandmother because he loved the West. He had fallen in love with the West while he was in Chicago and made the determination to move there and went to Salt Lake. And the letters he wrote were to her parents. Helen was her name, Helen Mason. I have letters where he's courting her. He eventually proposes. And then in 1901, they married in Massachusetts, I believe, and then came west to Kemmer, Wyoming. And that's where the real interesting history from my maternal side, this is maternal grandparents, gets rather interesting. The stories I grew up with from my grandparents, and you may have specific ones you'd like to ask, or I could just rattle on.
Well, actually, I'm interested in how Kemmer became the destination. Is there anything in particular?
A job, I believe.
Okay.
He got a job as a banker, did the banking, and then later on in their lives together in Kemmer, he became Lincoln County tax assessor. So between those two jobs, He was employed gainfully in Lincoln County, Kemmer, Wyoming. And my grandmother knew Mr. Penny, J.C. Penny.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I expect they were among the first shoppers at J.C. Penny.
They were at the Golden Rule store. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother used to chuckle because she'd say she was always active in civic, as most women were, trying to civilize the society back then in the West. So they would raise money for various and sundry charities and help the indigent. The railroad was very big in Kemmer. Mm-hmm. Coal industry was huge. So she was big into charity and to helping Kemmer grow. And they often would go to Mr. Penny for a contribution, and she told me that she would chuckle about it then, but I think she was dead serious. She said he never gave them a dime. And I said, well, Grandma, how do you think he got rich? He hung on to those pennies.
Uh-huh. No doubt.
But she did know him. I have a beautiful picture of them. She's holding my mother, who was the second-born child, and she's holding her in her arms, and my grandmother's dressed in a white to the floor, of course, to the ground dress, as it was in those days. I think 1901, my mother was born in 1908, so here she was dressed in this white dress. The hat was white with a beautiful flower in it, looking out over a river with holding my mother dressed. She, too, as a baby, was in white. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't help but think of Kemmer itself had boardwalk and dusty streets, unpaved. And it was kind of a wild town, really. I can't imagine washing the petticoats and washing the long skirts and keeping that white clean, what that had to entail, because their work was continuous in the kitchen or in the laundry. That mm-hmm. was it.
Wow.
You know, it just seemed like that consumed their lives. My grandmother was, because she was raised back east, she was kind of lightning storms to her dying day, scared her to death. My grandfather slept with a pistol under his pillow, because this was Kemmer back mm-hmm. in the runaway horses. She remembered milk wagons running away down the street, and you'd have to hear them and get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a dangerous time, but it was what my grandfather loved was the excitement of civilizing the West, and mm-hmm. Kemmer wasn't very civilized.
But they eventually moved to Casper.
And they were in their 70s probably when they lived there for 51 or 52 years. Well, more than that, about 55 years in the same house, the house that I remember very well, 401 Pearl, across from St. James. My grandfather was very active in St. James Episcopal Church. He was senior warden and junior warden and everything you can be, treasurer. During the depression or the run on banks, he was the banker at the time. My mother was working at the bank. She had graduated from UW. They had to make a run to go get some pennies, which was an interesting story, the details of which kind of escapes me, unfortunately. That's one I should have written down, because that was really a good story.
Yeah.
But wonderful life they carved out in Kemmer, and friends that lasted a lifetime. And I returned to Kemmer in 2001 to take some things to their museum that was my grandmother's, a dress, and her waist was 18 inches in her dress when she married, was 18 inches. Now think about that. And the dress that I took to the museum was every bit as, you know, maybe 19 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a feeling, and her back to her dying day was as straight as an arrow, and I think it was the corsets, because they pulled them tightly, and they were, that picture I described earlier in that beautiful white dress, she was definitely laced up in a corset. Her posture was perfect. She lived to be 100, a beautiful posture all of her life, and I guess we had to attribute it to the bone formation when he was lacing those corsets.
That is.
But hot and miserable, I'll bet, but still, good bones when you're 90.
You had to stay fit, too.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. They led quite a life. They had a son who was their firstborn, and he had a fox farm in Kemmer and died rather young. He had married and had a child, but he was 38 or 39, and mother told me, and grandmother too, about how he laid in state, and this was typical back then, laid in state in their home in Kemmer for just a brief time. It probably was just one day when you could, mm-hmm. the neighbors could come visit, and then the undertaker would come and carry the body off. But there was no mortuary. And one thing I can tell you, my grandfather haunted him to his 96th or 95th. He lived to be 96. She had a fourth child that was a miscarriage, and there was no cemetery to speak of in Kemmer. And my grandfather took the baby, buried that child out in Wyoming prairie somewhere, and to his dying day that haunted him because Kemmer grew and houses came and mm-hmm. Streets were developed and sewer lines were run, and it just bothered him that he lost track of that space where that child was. And I just tried to comfort him a little bit and said, well, God knows.
Yeah. Are you in Kemmer now?
No, I'm not. I'm living in Saratoga, Wyoming,
Saratoga, that's mm-hmm, right.
with my husband, Ralph Hicks, whom I met at the university.
And you've been married to Ralph? Or?
Yes. Well, coming next year will be our 50th.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Be the first.
If we get that far, I told my daughter, I said, listen, marriage is a success on a daily basis, every day. Mm-hmm. So day by day, we've gotten to 49, so good.
Is he originally from Wyoming?
Not originally. 2 years old, came to Wyoming, from Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And his parents were very hardworking farmers, and his mother had to leave Nebraska because asthma was very serious part of her life. Couldn't breathe in Nebraska because of the humidity. She was on the Platte. Mm-hmm. Lived on a farm out of Gibbon, and she came. Jerry had just seen an ad in a Field and Stream or something, and he said, oh, Laramie, Wyoming, that sounds a good place to go. So he gathered up his bride, and they came, and Ralph, who was two at the time, they came west, settled in Laramie, and Gladys said as they came over the summit to Sherman Mountain there between Cheyenne and Laramie, she said that's the first clear breath that she had ever taken, and it was a whole new life for her to be able to breathe. And it was, you would think otherwise because of the altitude, but which was a lot higher than Nebraska, but it was the clarity of the air and the dryness. And she just recently died this year at 101. So we have
a
lot of longevity.
Family, yeah.
We have a lot of longevity
no
in our family. Yeah.
Very good. And how long have you been in the Saratoga area?
Actually, I started going there 50 longer than ago than I've been married, probably 55 years ago. And my husband and I have been coming and building our own, making our own base over there for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we leave and go south in the winter, wisely, only because I remember too well what the winters used to be. I know they're not quite what they used to be, but someday we'll get back to that.
Any particular harsh winters you recall living there?
Actually, we moved to Casper in that 48. I can remember standing in the, I was 8 years old, or seven and a half, standing in the Gladstone Hotel with my mother watching the truck go by, and the snow was coming down, and Dad just needed a house, so we just bought a house, and he thought we would always move from that house and find another one. As that did not happen. Mom stayed in that house until she died in 84. But it was home, and I loved, like I said, I just loved Casper. It was a great experience. But my grandparents, what a story they had. Always some adventure. And I loved my grandmother's, she had bright, beautiful robin's egg blue eyes and white hair that she got when she was 18. She had white hair practically. I never remembered her any other way. So I don't know what color her hair was naturally.
Who has been the most important person, or maybe someone who's had the biggest influence on your life?
Well, I would certainly say my mother and my father as a unit. In particular, I guess, probably my mother. My dad traveled a lot. He was president of Remoga and did a lot of American Oil Institute. What's API? American Petroleum Institute. He was busy with that. But mother graduated from the University of Wyoming in 1929, spoke often with great love and affection and purpose for her instructors, just as I did my high school instructors. Her college instructors had a huge influence. Even though she never went, quote, out into the world, she used all of that wonderful education to raise children who were the benefactor of her education. Mm-hmm. And I admire women who will stay home these days and raise their children and teach them well about art, music, all those wonderful things. If you've got the time to do it, do it. It's wonderful.
Did you have children?
I have two children, both in Texas, one in Austin and the other in the Dallas area. They're both in their 40s now, making their own way. I have no blood grandchildren, but I have two little children in our lives that my daughters kind of inherited.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to have them.
Is there any other information about your family history or anything you'd like to pass on to your next generation?
Hmm. What would it be? Well, you know, with my mother-in-law just having died, there's a poignant story that came out of that. My daughter and son came up for the funeral, which was in Laramie. And as we were going through the mother-in-law's things, my daughter was thinking, she was sitting on the floor, sorting out some of her grandmother. She was very close to her and loved her dearly. And she was thinking about, you know, what do people do who don't care about things? You know, what happens to these things when people don't care about them? And I had no answer. That's one of those things that's kind of profound when you think about it, because I couldn't assure her that these things would go on in perpetuity. But museums, and I said, you need to remember to give, like I did my grandmother's dress to Kemmer. I took it back to her roots. And I think it's important that we pass those things on, those historical things, those family memorabilia, the scrapbooks, the dishes. Think of all the entertaining that was done and all those wonderful... I have great pictures of my grandmother, my great-grandmother entertaining, and I still have her napkin rings with the engraved initials on them. And to me, those things are very important, for it grounds your children, it gives them a grounding to their past. And my daughter, I think, came to realize how important that is with her death of her last living older relative. It's quite poignant.
Thank you very much, Anne. One other question regarding the state fair. Have you attended a regular or semi-regular basis?
I'm a little ashamed, being a Wyoming girl all my life. Born in Kemmer. I was born in Kemmer, raised in Casper, university in Laramie. Never had attended the state fair. And I was here. I was in Casper, hop, skip, and a jump away. But I found this 100th one quite a draw. And we have been walking the grounds and very pleased that we came and saw this beautiful sculpture that Jerry Palin had dedicated. Loved that. So it's just a good feel. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.